The Revelation of God. Introductory Remarks. In the first section, we learned that man cannot find his true goal and purpose without God. However, instead of finding and searching this only God, man invents all kinds of other things to fill this emptiness in himself. Man cannot find God on his own. God has to reveal himself to man. And so, how does God reveal himself? We hear in the Bible that the imaginations of man about God are not only wrong, but are also strongly in contradiction to the living God. And so Romans chapter 1 verse 21 reads, "For though they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened." For this reason, it is all the more important that we should clearly define where human fantasy begins and where there is the true revelation of God. This is important because, sadly, even many Christians make the mistake. Out of pure idealism, they want to say that actually all religions are the same because they are talking about God. If we should, for example, study the Bible and compare the Bible with the Quran, we do realize that the Quran is speaking of a completely different God than the Bible is revealing to us. Let me explain by an example. Maybe you have a very good friend whom you love dearly. If the enemy of this, your friend, starts telling you very terrible stories about your friend, you might answer this person in this fashion: "You are talking about a whole different person. I do not know this person whom you are talking about." If we really know the Bible and read the Quran, something similar happens to us. We are finding a God in the Quran which and whom we do not know in the Bible, and we cannot harmonize these two gods as one. However, Muslims say they are speaking of God's word in the Quran, and Christians say they have God's word in the Holy Bible. The two books are speaking of a totally different thing. Even what Islam is saying when they are talking about the revelation of God, they mean a different thing completely. In the Quran, the Arabic translation of Quran is something like citation or reading. And the meaning is that the angel Gabriel cited word for word what God said to Muhammad, and Muhammad quoted word for word without leaving one comma or sentence out. Interestingly enough, the Quran is a revelation of God and is the experience of a single person in the space of around 30 years. No, this is not the revelation of God. These are the imaginations of a man in the space of 30 years. Therefore, it is not surprising that we do not find a theme or a purpose in the Quran. By chance, the surahs are wrote one upon each other simply by placing the shortest in the beginning and the longest in the end. Also, the Quran does not have a beginning, a middle, and an end like you would expect from any literature. In spite of this, Muslims believe that the Quran is God's word. They believe that the Quran has absolutely no errors. For this reason, they would also not allow a scientific study of the Quran. Should one allow such a study like it is made in the Corpus Quranicum in Berlin, you would find very many errors, in the text of the Quran. In the reading of the Bible, the meaning of God's word is completely different. In fact, God's word begins long before even one word is written down. This is because God created the world by his word, Genesis 1 verse 3. This shows us that God's word is powerful and it creates things. God doesn't always use his word in the same fashion as when he created the earth. Because in the Bible, God uses normal human beings like you and me who are speaking in the framework of their own culture and language, nonetheless proclaiming God's word within this culture. The word of God in the Bible was not written down in the space of 30 years, but was written down over thousands of years, using many cultures, many languages. And we can therefore say that the Bible is not a book, but it is a library of books. And in spite of this, we can see the Bible has a beginning, a middle, and an end. We can also see one clear goal and purpose in the Bible. God wants to, through his word, save people from sin, from Satan, and from death. And he wants to call them to fellowship with himself again. We can also say that in the Bible, there are two important climaxes. The first one is on the mountain of Sinai. The second is on the mountain of Golgotha. On Sinai, God appears to Moses, and God gives the Ten Commandments. We see that Moses cannot really see God at this time on Sinai. However, the revelation of the Ten Commandments are God's perfect will. This even a child can realize. Just imagine if every human being in the whole wide world would do exactly as these Ten Commandments would say, then we would have a perfect world, without prisons, without wars, without murder. We do realize that the Ten Commandments are God's perfect will. And we also realize, even a child realizes, that the Ten Commandments have a claim on us. The Ten Commandments are commanding us to do as these commands say to us. And yet, we cannot fulfill them. Therefore, God's revelation on Sinai does not only reveal to us his perfect will, but also the fact that we cannot fulfill this perfect will of God, and therefore our world is imperfect. And so the story of God with man does not end, because there is a second mountain named Golgotha. On this mountain, Jesus is given by God to take away the separation between God and man. On Golgotha, we can see Jesus. And God does not remain hidden. God reveals himself through Jesus. Jesus is therefore God's ultimate revelation. We can also say the center of Holy Scripture is Jesus himself. John 1 verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. However, the revelation of Jesus is not just separate from the Old Testament. In Jesus, we do not receive a separate revelation from that of the Old Testament. No, Jesus is actually there to fulfill the will of God, which was already revealed by the Ten Commandments. In fact, in the Old Testament, Jesus is already announced long before he came. And even the temple with the sacrifices in the temple are but role models of the one and only death of Jesus on the cross of Golgotha. Hebrews 9 verse 11 and 12. But when Christ came as high priest of the good things that are now already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not made with human hands, that is to say, is not a part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once and for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. New and Old Testament are therefore not two books, but one. They belong together, and they follow one goal, the salvation of mankind from sin, death, and Satan. The end of the Bible point to the second coming of Jesus Christ and the ultimate reunification of man and God. I want to encourage you all to take the Bible and start reading. And in fact, the next section of our readings will be about how I go about to read the Bible.